Greetings, everyone. I'm excited to welcome Andrew, CEO and founder at Enable, the SaaS platform for B2B rebates. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me, Ben.
Yeah, great to have you here. So let's dive right in. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Sure. So my background, I've always been very interested in building applications and also kind of business and how business works. And so my initial kind of ventures were really building software for other businesses, which was a great opportunity to, you know, meet different companies, find out how they work and start to build a kind of software engineering team over a period of time. And then, you know, after a number of kind of chapters, if you like, we could talk about, really discovered this whole kind of rebate space, which was a huge opportunity. So that's where we're entirely focused now.
Okay, great. And so would you say serial entrepreneur from the start then?
Well, I don't know if I use grandiose titles like that, but it is true that I've always run my own thing, you know, so this is my third company and certainly on a different scale to the previous two, but that's what I've always known.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, appreciate that intro. So yeah, let's talk about Enable. What products and or services does Enable offer?
Sure. So we're a B2B SaaS platform. So we're offering software which is used by manufacturers, distributors, buying groups in a whole range of industries, predominantly physical goods in the supply chain. So it could be automotive, electrical, construction, and so on. And our users really are finance people, procurement teams, and sales teams, where they're creating these rebate agreements to incentivize buying and selling in the supply chain. So that's really the kind of entire focus we have.
Yeah, really interesting. Just a one side note, I was a brief stint as a mainframe programmer. I was assigned to a project at Grainger where we're working on a rebate system way, you know, like 20 years ago. So yeah, interesting.
yeah, so that's funny. A lot of people that I talk to have had some exposure to this, you know, in their career. But the amazing thing is it was never really recognized as a software category and it was never talked about in this way until recently. So really, really fascinating.
Yeah. And in, you know, in your tagline on LinkedIn said the SaaS platform for B2B rebates. So would you say a software category today or something that maybe you created?
Yeah, I think we're definitely creating it. And it's really exciting because I always say to my team, we're literally less than 1% of what we can be and will be over the next few years, because there's literally tens of thousands of companies out there that really need this. And they do it already, but they struggle with the software and the tools they use. So in one way, we're just starting. But then on another way, we're actually already the market leader. And if you look at someone like Gartner, you know, they a year or two were not sure. But now even they are very, very clear that, you know, Enable has a lot more customers than any other software company in this space. We have a lot more people, you know, experts on the payroll and a lot more customers. So we've definitely been kind of creating this category.
Okay, interesting. And so you said, so you're targeting manufacturers or those, you know, producing physical goods. What about distribution or is it purely manufacturers that you're after?
No, it definitely is. All constituents is what I'm looking for in the supply chain. So distributors, wholesalers, retailers, buying groups, manufacturers, anyone that kind of sits between the raw product when it's made and then the end customer who would buy it.
Okay, gotcha. So like you said, that supply chain from manufacturer to retail and anyone in between. Yeah, really interesting. And so what year did you found Enable?
So I'd say with the Enable SaaS platform that we have now, 2016 was really the year where the whole thing kind of started. We before that, again, we were kind of building systems on a more bespoke and custom basis, and we kind of pivoted. So we had an unusual path compared to a typical Silicon Valley company, which is that we were bootstrapping and self-funding and kind of building software. And we kind of incubated this SaaS product, you know, and used the funding from our other business, if you like, to build it. But again, 2016 was the year that really kind of kicked off.
So 2016 is when it kicked off. And I talked to a lot of founders who had, say, an agency or services prior, and then, you know, kind of turn that into a SaaS platform. So prior to, you mentioned bespoke products. So were you building apps for others prior to that or offering a service? Tell us a little bit of, you know, if there was a pivot there, or a change in the business model.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. So we were very much building software for other people and it was based on their requirements. So it was custom build. And it just so happens that rebates came up time and time again. And different companies and different industries were saying, we really need help with managing these strange things we have called rebates. And so we did that two or three times, and then we got referred, and we sort of took this thing in that we'd built for a different industry into a company. And they said, we can, what you're showing us is kind of health and beauty products. And what we have is HVAC systems, but we can actually make the leap, and we can see that that's exactly what we need. So that's what we were doing up until the point of actually launching our own product.
So with that experience building software for other companies, was it just that repetition where you saw rebates coming up a bit and thought that could be a good idea to incubate on our own then?
Yeah, exactly. Because we just saw it coming up time and time again. So many companies that couldn't find a good solution that were resorting to a bespoke build, which seemed crazy. Because normally in bespoke, the whole reason it's bespoke is it's different every time. But there was a huge amount of common ground. So yeah, we just said, this is clearly a huge market that's not served. And we can use our knowledge that we've gained from all these different customers and also our software development expertise to build a really modern cloud solution.
Because when I think about building software for others, sometimes I think like, well, they're trying to build a SaaS app that they're going to monetize, but probably this is more, would it be there? They just want a software application for internal use to track their rebates. And that's how that was coming up, just internally versus creating a product to sell.
Yes. So exactly. So our customers just wanted to use it internally. But then we saw, well, there's so many other customers like these customers that also need to use something internally. And then we quickly kind of realized that for rebates to be effective, they need to be visible across the supply chain. So if I have a rebate with you, we both need to be able to see it. It's not just internal, but it's also kind of with the partner. So that's how we kind of quickly decided that collaboration had to be a big focus of our rebate platform.
Yeah, I love that. I love that journey. And then just realizing that idea and creating it on your own. And then tell us, where is Enable located? Do you have a headquarters?
Yeah, so we actually have about 50% of our people in the UK, which is where we started. And then we have about 40% in North America, and then 10% kind of elsewhere. And I'd say in the elsewhere category, Australia is actually probably the biggest. And then within North America, we've actually selected Toronto as being our biggest base. And we now have, hundreds of people in Toronto. It's a really good city, really good talent, and a kind of just a good vibe. So Toronto would be our kind of biggest North American base.
Okay, that's great. And then what's your current team size approximately?
We've just passed 600 quite recently. So yeah, just over 600 as of today.
Okay, yeah, no, nice size. And anything you want to share around your ARR range or revenue range?
Yeah, I mean, we've been growing over 100% a year now for four consecutive years. So I think when I came out to the US a few years ago, we were at probably about 4 million of ARR. And then we've kind of done 4 to 10, 10 to 25, 25 to 50. And we're kind of now well on our way to 100 million. So that will be a big milestone.
Okay, congrats. Yeah, that's great growth. And yeah, big milestone at 100 million. And so let's talk a little bit about prospecting and your go-to-market motion. So manufacturers, I can see small manufacturers to global manufacturers. So who are you reaching out to in these companies to try to sell Enable?
Sure. So I think the CFO is probably the biggest kind of senior exec, if you like, in a company, because they sit across this from a finance perspective, obviously, but also kind of spanning procurement and sales. Because what we found is that rebates are often the single largest cost for a manufacturer, believe it or not, and it's often all of the profitability of a distributor or a retailer. So it's like more than 100% of their profit. And so what that means is the CFO is just very carefully looking at the accruals, and it's really kind of all over those numbers. So whether it be a manufacturer who's paying the money out or a distributor who's receiving the money, and often, by the way, they're receiving it and paying it, the CFO is a really important link in that.
Okay. And is there a certain, say, I don't know, size of these manufacturers, because I come from the Midwest in the US and you'd see all these, small manufacturers throughout the Midwest. So is there any kind of minimum size that you're after, or can it be any manufacturer who offers? I know it's the supply chain more than manufacturers, but any minimum size to your prospect?
Not really. So when we started, we were dealing with quite large companies because we were bootstrapping, and there's no question that the larger the company, the more dollar impact there will be. And so there's more value, and therefore those companies have a bigger budget for this type of software. And you know, we didn't have any money, so we were targeting those bigger customers. But the vision from a very early stage was to really democratize rebate management and make it available to everyone. And so that really meant we wanted to get kind of lots of smaller customers. And over the last few years, we've therefore kind of made the entry point easier and easier to access for those smaller companies. And we've also gone to market as well. So our kind of biggest customers are a lot bigger than they were, say, 2 years ago. And our smallest customers are actually a little bit smaller. And we want to, again, we want to make this available to tens of thousands of companies. So anyone that has rebates at all, we want to use the Enable platform.
Okay. Yeah, I love that. And let's talk a little bit about fundraising, because you've raised a bit of capital and it looks like about $276 million raised to date.
Yes, that sounds about right.
Okay. And I think a recent Series D for about 120.
Yes.
Exactly. So, yeah. So other, you know, so really interesting. So a lot of, you know, fundraising experience here and a lot of capital raised. So with that latest raise, you know, and you're getting kind of into thin air, you know, not as many Series Ds and raises of that size. Mm. What led you to that $120 million raise? Were there triggers, milestones that you saw that said Enable is ready for more capital?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've definitely demonstrated this kind of consistent year-over-year growth over the last 4 years. And the market is huge. And like I said at the beginning of this call, we're still only a tiny, tiny fraction of the market. So you've got this huge market and there's very, very little competition in that market. And then we've got this proven track record of being able to grow fast and also retain customers at a very high rate. So the retention is very, very strong. And we're really just still in that early stage of you know, the if you like, the base of the S curve. So we've been going from, let's say, growth at high cost, or should we say high growth at high cost, to now saying high growth at lower cost. And that will continue for the next couple of years. And then but at the moment, we're still at the base of the S curve. So we're nowhere near kind of saturating or kind of leveling out, or thinking, for example, about we need to be highly profitable at the expense of growth. And then I think it's just the economics of it, really, that, you know, we had a good cash runway before the Series D, but we've been able to significantly extend the runway with, you know, not too much dilution, and also by doing an up round, but not a massive up round. So economically, it's kind of, in a way, not actually raising expectations that much higher than they were for the C, but giving us massively more runway to continue growing the business.
Okay. Yeah, I appreciate that insight. And at this stage, are you still in a cash burn stage and with a path to profitability? Or what are your thoughts around cash burn versus getting to profitability?
Yeah, so we are still in a cash burn stage. I mean, our gross margin is very high, like you'd expect from a B2B SaaS company. And we're simply choosing to spend more than the gross margin on sales, marketing, and research and development. So that's really, really the decision. And I think in any market, and even in the current financial market where you know, people are under pressure, growth is still very, very valuable. And the ability for us to produce and generate cash in the future, if we are 5 or 10 times the size that we are now, will be massively higher than if we started to plateau. So I think, you know, I'm still of a very clear view that growth is still important. And I think what's important is showing improving efficiency over time. So we need to show, and we are showing, that our costs are growing a lot slower than the revenue. But it's okay to be in a burn situation because the market is huge. We are, you know, the market leader, and we've got the capital available to be invested.
Yeah, and that's interesting, you know, your comment about gross margin, because it can be very tough if you're in cash burn with low gross profit. That it's a big barrier to a path to profitability. So what do you consider, say, a good gross margin for B2B SaaS?
Well, I think 75% plus. So I think 70% might be okay. 80% is very good. So that in that kind of range.
Yeah, I usually consider kind of 80% best in class at scale.
Yeah.
So yeah, that makes sense. So for other, you know, you a lot of capital raising experience. So for other founders who are listening, who may be thinking about that next big raise, any lessons or insights that you'd like to pass on to the founder community, from your fundraising experience, whether it's that, you know, the Series D or maybe an earlier round?
Yes. I mean, I think, you know, what we did is we did get to a good level of product market fit before we raised any money. And so we had, say, $4 million of revenue, and we had, you know, maybe 40 or so customers, that kind of level. And we'd already, some of those, it had taken us, you know, multiple years to, or we'd had them for multiple years. We'd won them a few years before. So we could show, you know, I think we were 98% gross retention or something with those 40 customers, and had lots of kind of success stories and great case studies and great kind of ROI, where we could say this company invests 100,000 a year in Enable and they're getting $1 million a year back. So we did all of that before we raised any money. And then the fundraising has really been to get to the next kind of scale each time and say, okay, we want to get from 4 to 10, we want to get from 10 to 25, we want to get from 25 to 50. And it's been quite calculated in terms of, we think we need to burn X dollars to add, you know, Y dollars. And we think we can maintain that gross retention. So we hold on to customers for a long time. And then it is just a simple formula, really, of what is the payback and what's the investor return. So I think, you know, figuring that out early and having a clear thesis before raising funding and before raising each round, I think is important. And also making sure that each investor can make a really good return. So, you know, I can kind of plot where we were at the A and where we are now. And then I'm looking forward to you know, where, because we want to take the company public. So mm-hmm. what will that look like? And is there a kind of milestone between now and then? And I think really seeing very clearly how we can generate a great return for those investors is important. You know, using conservative public kind of comps. Mm-hmm.
And do you think when you're getting to your size and say, you know, above 50 million or on your way to 100 million and thinking about going public, does it become more formulaic or numbers driven at your size, you know, to get to that next milestone?
Yes. Yeah, no, definitely. And I talk to the whole team at Enable about different phases that we've been going through. So the first one was the build phase, where we were just trying to build a product and get some customers and just prove some early success. So that's just building something. And then once we got there, then the next one was launch. And that was saying, it's like a rocket, really, trying to get it off the ground. And that does require a lot of energy. And maybe that's going, in our case, from, say, I don't know, 40 to 150 customers or something. Was that kind of launch phase of just get this thing off the ground and prove that we can do it, and there's a big market, and, you know, we can, there's something here. And I think now we've gone from that launch phase, that's behind us, and we're now in what I'm calling focus and scale. And in a way, that's about being more focused and actually closing the aperture. Because in the launch phase, you're just trying to have a very wide aperture and throw anything and everything in to just get this thing launched. But now it's saying, okay, this thing is really working. We know that there's a huge market and we can scale it, say 20x or whatever it might be in the next not many years. So let's lean into what's working and be more focused, be more specific on, for example, ideal customer profiles. What geos are we going into? What types of businesses? What sizes of businesses? Because we can see where we've had great success, where we've had less success, and then perhaps where we've had some failures as well. So that's really about, like you say, more numbers driven, about scale, about repeatability. And I know that if we can just scale the core of what we have now in a formulaic way, then that in itself is a huge business. And then actually what comes after the focus and scale stage is expansion. When we then say, okay, now we can kind of start to broaden out again. But that's because we've kind of got to really, really good scale with that core product first.
Yeah, I love that. Appreciate that insight about how kind of your scaling phases have worked so far. So love that. And Andrew, at your stage of your business right now, do you have a favorite number or numbers or metrics that you're using to guide the business?
Yeah, I mean, what we've been talking about throughout the company is actually looking at Rule of 40, because I'd say up until the Series D, you know, we're in that launch phase. And to be honest, the number one number was growth rate. And I'd say the number two number, by the way, was retention. And you could look at gross retention and net retention. But you know, as long as your retention is really good, then it's all about growing when you've got this huge market and not much competition. So that was the case. I think now, you know, we do need to be more mindful of efficiency. So I don't like saying it's all about going from growth to, say, profit, because that's just two extremes. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think Rule of 40 is saying we still need to have a very strong growth rate, but also the burn has to be limited, because otherwise you won't get to Rule of 40. And then so that's how I've been describing it. And we've got, again, very clear targets for this year, next year, the following year, and what that what that balance is between kind of growth rate and free cash flow.
Yeah, I love that, because Rule of 40 kind of back in style, but I think SaaS companies at scale, never out of style, always something looking at that balance between profit and growth. So appreciate that insight. So
yeah, Andrew, and I think when you look at the highest performing public companies in SaaS, then those are more growth. You know, the Rule of 40, more of it is growth and less of it is profit. That's just, I think even in a challenging market, that's still the case.
Yeah. And appreciate your time today. And as we wrap up, Andrew, tell us what's coming up next for Enable.
Yeah, so I think as you pointed out, we closed the D and we announced that very recently. So we really have got this kind of chapter I mentioned of what we're calling focus and scale. And in simple terms, that's quadrupling the revenue while no more than doubling the cost. So you start to get a lot of efficiency in that 2-year period. And from a customer point of view, you know, again, we've got a lot of success stories, but we're still, you know, small in relative terms to the size of the market. So I'm really excited to be able to get our technology in the hands of a lot more companies, get them to value and create a lot more success stories over those next 2 years.
Yeah, love it. Yeah, sounds like you're riding a pretty nice rocket ship right now. So really appreciate your time and sharing your experience today, Andrew. And if listeners would like to learn more about Enable, where should we send them online?
So enable.com is a really straightforward website address. And also feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn as well.
Okay, perfect. So if you'd like to learn more about what Andrew's doing, check out enable.com and check him out on LinkedIn. And Andrew, really appreciate your time and sharing your experience today.
Likewise. Thanks for having me.